real life solutions you can believe in.
It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
This is peppy. Cyrus, what is this? I like this.
You gave
this
it
is like
to
aerobics music.
I like it. You're like, what is this, Cyrus? Like, I don't know. It's something you gave me.
It's like aerobics music. Aerobicize.
Yeah. It has a nice, fun beat to it.
Pump it up for just a second. I want to hear this. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Positive vibe here on the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Jason in California. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Patrick. Love your show.
Thank you.
I kind of want to get to the point, and I thank you for letting me speak after
sure.
the break.
Sure.
I'm just very, I don't know, it's been weighing very heavily on me. I drink, you know, 6 to 8 beers a day. I take Xanax, and I'm struggling, you know, with getting back into the church and this whole COVID thing. And I've always struggled with drinking for a while. My wife has just been on me, more worried about my health more than anything. I have two kids, love them to death, take care of them. I go to work every day. You know, I guess you'd call me a functioning alcoholic. I just don't, I'm fearful because I don't want, I enjoy coming home after work and having a few beers. And of course I take those Xanax for my anxiety, which was originally, you know, supposed to be off of. And there's been times where I've been scared because I've kind of overdone it on the Xanax to where I enjoy feeling that relief, you know, of the anxiety. But there's been times where I've, you know, just as an example of a couple nights ago, I almost choked on a cracker because I took, you know, 3 pills of 1 milligram Xanax and, you know, chugged six or seven beers, you know, on top of that. And it really scared the hell out of me. And there's been a couple other things. And I mean, I do like to drink because it's like a release for me. You know, from the daily grind and, you know, the kind of the monotonous of life and the things that have been going on. And it's just, it's kind of been a compounding thing for me. And I my wife wants me to go see a therapist, and I do really want to see a therapist to try. I take Xanax, and I also take a small milligram of antidepressant.
Okay.
And I just, I'm kind of lost because I'm very close with my priest in a way, but my wife says I need some side of like an outside perspective, you know, from someone, you know, because I've had, you know, all my family, you know, my brothers, my sisters, we've all experienced some physical abuse in the past, which is no exception. You know, I'm an adult, you know, and she just,
how
she
old
tells
are you, Jason?
Me that I got to get these things off my chest. I'm 35.
Okay. How long has drinking been a problem for you? I mean, or maybe how long have you been drinking? Since you were a teenager, or did you start when you were older?
Since I've been a teenager. I mean, we had our years. You know, I've been with my wife for going on 19 years. We've been married almost 10 years. And, you know, it's just, it's very, really just weighed on my conscience so much, more so now than ever. You know, and especially these scary moments, I've cut back on the Xanax a little bit because it scared the crap out of me. You know, excuse my language.
Understandable. It's understandable.
You know, when I... down in bed, you know, because I'm just so out of it. You know, my babies, you know, I take care of them, they love me, and you know, I'm not abusive or anything. I just, you know, I just, my wife wonders sometimes why I sleep so much, and you know, on my days off, I work seven on, seven off, and I'm sorry that I'm all over the place, but I just, there's just a lot of stuff that...
It's okay.
I don't know.
So you need, just, you need some
my
healing.
Main thing is...
Go ahead. What's the main thing?
I do, and my main thing is I'm very scared to go to confession because I don't feel in my heart right now that I know that I need to change my ways, but I feel that I'm not worthy of the Eucharist at this point, and I'm not worthy of going to confession and confessing that I do have, which I have in the past, you know, that I've abused alcohol, you know, and...
Why don't we start
you know,
there?
Opioids, you know?
Why don't we start there,
Jason? I
just
feel like God's not forgiving me, you know?
Okay.
I feel whole when I come out, but I start and I fall back into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why don't we start there? So think about these things. First of all, you know that that voice whispering in your ear telling you that you're not worthy to go back to confession. And, you know, how could you go back to confession and confess the same sin again? And God must really be so exasperated with you. That is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the evil one, who wants nothing more than for you to make a fresh start, even if it means you'll fall again and have to make another fresh start. This is true of so many things that we human beings can find ourselves sinning in, and this is why the Lord established the sacrament of confession for you in this very situation, to help you get back up and get back going. It's what he does for you in the sacrament. So it's enough in itself for you to have the desire to quit, even though you're weak and it's an ingrained habit now, even though you know that it's likely that you'll fall again, if you can say in your heart, here and now, Lord, I hate this sin, I want to overcome it, and with your help, I will overcome it. And I don't know the future, and I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know that right now, here and now, I want to avoid this sin, and I ask you for your help in avoiding it. Give me your grace, and he will. That's the first step. So when you go to confession, don't be worried about what will happen tomorrow or next week or the week after that. Just have that sense of your commitment to stopping this sin. And this is, from a sacramental standpoint, the only way it's ever really going to stop, and you're only going to start healing in the sacramental sense once you are able to realize that staying away from confession is actually the wrong thing to do. It's counterproductive. Now, I'm sure you've been...
I know, and I feel...
I'm sure you've been told you should go to an AA meeting. Have you done that?
No. My wife really just... She hasn't said anything about AA. My mom said no.
Go to an AA meeting. Go to an AA meeting. Look it up in the on the internet. They're all over the place. You know, I've never been to one, but from what I'm told, they're easy to find and they're all over the place and they're happening all the time. And just go to one near you and start that process. That's what they're there for. And they will help you and you'll find a sponsor and you can begin the process. You said you needed an outside opinion, somebody outside of your head who can give you some advice. They're good at that because they're going through it and they understand what you're dealing with. So go to an AA meeting, get that started. I'd also recommend that you read this book. It's called Dying for a Drink. The author is Anderson Spickard. Dying for a Drink, What You and Your Family Should Know About Alcoholism. It's a good book. It'll break it down for you. It'll show you the dynamics of what this is all about. And that's going to give you some good clinical information. But you have to rouse yourself. You have to take some action here. Otherwise, you'll just be a lump and you'll just sit there drinking, you know, who knows how much each day, and your life will drift away from you and your kids will grow up and they'll remember dad as an alcoholic, and you don't want that. And you have time to stop that now. You have time to overcome it.
I know.
But you have to take action.
Yeah, and my kids, you know, just it hurts me because, you know, my baby girl, you know, she knows that, you know, when daddy's a little irritated or he's stressed out from work, you know, let me get daddy a beer, you know, and she says that to my wife and it affects my wife. And I say, you know, I shrug it off and I say, well, you got to give the kids tasks, you know, but
But see, now it's time, Jason. Now it's time to take action. You got to move forward. Yeah. You got to take action. Do you have any like companions, friends, buddies, whatever that you hang out with and drink with, or is this just something more solo?
Well, it all started out like that, and now I've kind of been more reclusive, you know, more just solo.
That's another bad sign. Yeah, you're withdrawing.
I know it is. Yeah, I really have been withdrawing. I mean, you know, when we go out to go swim in the pool and play with the kids, I got to have a beer there, you know, and my wife is always like, you know, why can't you just keep this just to social, you know, gatherings and keep it within basically moderation?
I don't doubt anything that you're saying, Jason. I'm sure that it's painful for you, but it's up to you to make the change. You've got to turn the corner. Now, God will help you, obviously, and the people at AA will help you, but you've got to take the first step. So my advice would be go to confession. If it's available where you live, go to confession as soon as you can.
It is, yeah.
Okay, go to confession. There is a great Saint Matt Talbot, who is an alcoholic who he had to have a drink, and he was a drunk, a roaring drunk. And the Lord helped him overcome this. He's actually Venerable Matt Talbot. And you can just look him up. Mm-hmm. Look up Matt Talbot, M-A-T-T Talbot. I'll just read you a little bit about his story here. I don't know if this fits with anything you're doing, but let me get it back up here. Matt is considered the patron of men and women struggling with alcoholism. He was born in Dublin. His father worked on the docks, had a difficult time supporting his family. After a few years of schooling, Matt obtained work as a messenger for some liquor merchants. There he began to drink excessively. For 15 years, until he was almost 30, he was an active alcoholic. One day he decided to take the pledge for 3 months. He made a general confession and began to attend daily mass. The first 7 years after taking the pledge were especially difficult. He avoided his former drinking places, and that was very difficult for him. He began to pray as intensely as he used to drink. He also tried to pay back people from whom he had borrowed or stolen money when he was drinking. It's a very powerful story, and I'm sure you'll see some glimpses of your own situation here. So my advice, just to reiterate, Jason, go to confession, trust in the Lord's mercy and his help, even though you know you're weak. And if you fall, go back to confession and keep going back to confession. And don't stop going to confession and resist that voice that's telling you that you're not worthy, because that's not from God. That's from the evil one. Then check into...
Yeah, and that's what I've been struggling with, because I've had that voice in the back of my head going, you know, this is not good.
Ignore that.
You see it, but you're not acting upon it, you know, and correcting, you know, or trying to correct. And I've tried to correct, and then I've fallen back. You know, I've gone 3 days, and then I go back to my habits. Mm-hmm.
This is why you need to go to AA. Cyrus just gave me the website. So if you want to find a meeting near you, just go to aa-meeting.online. aa-meeting.online. There's a phone number you can call that will tell you where there's an AA meeting near you. It's 844-334-6862. Is that right? 6862. So this is a national number, 844-334-6862, and they'll help you find a meeting that's near you where you live in California. And then the third thing would be get this book. It's called Dying for a Drink, and it will explain to you what's happening to you. It'll give you a clinical analysis of what you're experiencing. And the AA people are going to help you move forward. And you can do it, Jason. You can do this. And think about your wife and your children. And just, you don't want to wake up 20 years from now one day and they're gone because daddy was a drunk. Obviously, you don't want that. And this is the direction that those things are heading in. And you don't want that, obviously. So my advice, do those three things. And I'd love to hear back from you, Jason. I've got to take a break, but maybe in a month or two, call me and let's talk about it again. and we'll be praying for you. I'll be right back.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.